This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley and keep our eye on what's happening around the state as well. We've got that opportunity today because we have the Senate Republican leader, Bruce Starr. He's out of Dundee on with us this afternoon. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
So what's your initial reaction? I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but following the signing of the governor's transportation package.
Well, I think that the first thing is she waited over a month to sign this, quote unquote, emergency legislation. She calls a special session to pass an emergency massive tax bill, only to hold the bill for, you know, a month and four or five days before she signed it. And it's clear why she did that. She, one, she could by law, so she had the authority to do that. But what it does is it makes the opportunity for Oregon voters to weigh in. It shortens the window, the time frame available for us to gather the signatures that are necessary in order to qualify the tax measure to put it on next November's general election ballot, where Oregon voters will have the chance to sign, they'll have a chance to vote up or down whether they support this massive tax. So, I mean, that's, of course, she was going to sign the bill. She's the one that put the whole effort together. You know, it was after the long session that ended at the end of June. And it was in July, the governor calls me and says, well, I'm going to put together a transportation package and call a special session. And I said, well, that's your prerogative as a governor. And she asked, will you show up? So she asked the state senator me if I'd show up to a special session that she would call to weigh in on a transportation tax. What she didn't ask is, what do I need to do in order to get Republican support for a transportation bill that's going to solve and fix our transportation problems or challenges? She didn't ask that question. She had it all figured out. She didn't need Republicans' help. They had 36 Democrats, actually 37 now, Democrats in the House, 18 Democrats in the Senate, and that's all the votes she needed. She wasn't interested in a bipartisan, you know, collaborative compromise kind of bill. So am I surprised she signed it? No. Am I surprised that she waited as long as she did to sign it? I'm not. And I'm not going to be surprised when Oregon voters rise up like they're doing from every corner of the state of Oregon to make sure their voice is heard on this. And we'll gather the signatures and put it on the ballot so voters can weigh in.
When we look at the impacts that Oregonians are going to feel from this transportation package, address some of those. What for the average person, what are they going to notice?
Well, the first thing that virtually every driver in the state of Oregon is going to notice is that the gas tax is going to go up. And I don't know about you, but I drive enough. I'm filling up my car every week. You know, obviously some people more, some people less, but every time they go to the pumps to fill up, they're going to pay more. And what we also know is that Oregon right now already has the fourth highest gas prices in the nation. And there's a reason why that is, by the way. It has something to do with the fact that over the last decade, the Democrats and you know, Democrat governors in our state have passed environmental rules that have driven up the cost of energy. And that additional cost sucked out of, you know, Oregon drivers' pockets. And it's goes into the ether, and it doesn't do one doggone thing for roads or bridges or honestly anything to improve Oregon's climate or environment. So the impacts immediately are going to be increased gas prices. The other thing is when you re-register your car every 2 years, you're going to see your registration amount go up by over $60, which is a lot, and you already pay a lot for registration. So that's what you're going to see. And then if you're buying a new vehicle, that title fee that you pay to the privilege of titling or transferring the title of a vehicle into your name, you're going to write a bigger check there as well. That fee more than doubles in this bill. So you know, again, buying a new vehicle, the price of buying a new vehicle just went up. The other thing that's in here that you're going to see, if you're a W-2 employee, you're an employee who works for somebody, works for a company, and they pay you a paycheck every month or every 2 weeks. Currently, there's a payroll tax that's deducted from your pay, and that payroll tax funds transit throughout the entire state. That payroll tax is going to double if the governor gets her way on this. And, you know, it's a relatively small tax, but it's a huge amount of money when it's all combined and for a service that very few Oregonians utilize. So those are the four major taxes that are in this package that the co-petitioners and myself are working to get in front of voters so voters can weigh in. There's other parts of the bill. I mean, the bill is over 50 pages long, and we're not referring the entire bill because, one, that would be a lot of paper that people would have to carry around, and the printing and mailing costs of that would be enormous in a short window that we have. But we're not referring the entire thing. There's actually some parts of the bill that, you know, generally there's bipartisan support for. But what we're talking about are these massive taxes, and Oregonians want to weigh in, and they'll get the opportunity to weigh in.
What are the specifics of this petition effort?
Well, like I mentioned, we're not referring the entire bill. We're just referring the four taxes. It's a two-page document. You know, I encourage your listeners to go to stopthegastax.com. And they can click on the link there, get connected to the campaign. We've got captains in every county in the state that are helping to organize counties so that volunteers can get petitions, so that those captains are identifying locations within the county to basically set up pop-ups so drivers can drive by and stop and sign the petition. We've got over 4,000 volunteers statewide that have logged in, said, hey, I want to help get signatures so this gets on the ballot. It's a pretty massive effort, and we have a very constrained time frame to do it because of the governor's delay. Our goal really is to collect 100,000 signatures by December the 20th, so it's a little more than a month. And the total number we have to have to qualify it's 78,116, but we need that extra in order to ensure that we qualify. The Secretary of State has a habit of throwing out certain numbers of signatures for a variety of reasons, but we want to make sure we have more than enough, a big enough cushion, so that there's no question that this gets on the ballot next year.
Now, if it gets on the ballot next year, is that going to be in the spring or next fall?
So under current law, the bill would be referred to the November general election next year.
So you would still have the impacts of this legislation at least for that long. No,
you wouldn't. And actually, once we qualify the signatures, the taxes are put on hold. The four taxes that we are referring are not collected. They just pushes like pushing a pause button, and while that button is paused, then it comes around several months later, and Oregon voters get to decide whether they want to unpause it and have the taxes go into effect or keep it paused. And we believe, based on our polling data, and I honestly didn't need to do a poll to understand where voters were on this, but some of our donors, people that are helping fund our effort, they wanted to make sure that we had a shot at winning this, so we did do a poll. But the over 80% of Oregonians won. They say they want the opportunity to vote on it. And almost equal number of folks are opposed to the gas tax and these other fees. So it does pause the whole effort, and there's a consequence to that, right? So the governor is going to tell everybody that, oh my gosh, if you don't approve this tax or if you sign this measure and it qualifies, we're not going to plow the roads in the wintertime. You know, we're not going to fill potholes. Guardrails aren't going to be repaired. You know, the striping, you know, maintenance on the highways is going to end. I'm going to have to fire 500 ODOT employees. That's what she's going to say. Reality is much different than that. She will have a choice. She could follow through with those threats. I think that would be irresponsible. The choice really is to come to the legislature, and we will be in session next February. And she should work with us and, you know, work with the majority party and do what families do when times are tight. And that's to fund the things that are most important. And things that are less important, you don't fund. You say we're not going to spend money this month on going to the movies or going out to dinner. We're going to make sure the electricity bill gets paid and the mortgage gets paid. That's what we need to do with ODOT. It does require legislative action because ODOT's budget is complicated and there's silos of money and they're statutorily dictated to spend certain amounts here and there. But the legislature could pass law to change the statute to free up money so that we could make sure that the core function of the transportation department is actually accomplished, building roads, bridges, keeping our highways open so that we have an economy that works.
All right, back with more in a moment. State Senator Bruce Starr with us. The interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Monday, Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service will be on Inside Douglas County. Senate Republican leader Bruce Starr of Dundee on this afternoon. In this part, I wanted to ask, you've been Senate leader a short period of time. Talk about what led to you becoming the Senate leader, why you decided to agree to take on that role.
Yeah, so... Senator Daniel Bonham from Hood River, former senator, he was our leader. And Senator Bonham got a phone call from our friend in Washington, D.C., that happens to be the Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez de Remer, and said, hey, I could use your help back here. And I think he couldn't run for reelection anyway because of the law that was passed regarding the walkout. So he was basically term limited, and she offered him this opportunity to help her move awesome policy back in Washington. So he took her up on that opportunity. And so the Senate Republicans needed to find someone else to basically take over that role in that position. I had known that Senator Bonham wasn't going to be able to run for reelection, and I had had, you know, I'd been working closely with him on, you know, campaigns and policy and candidate recruitment anyway. And so it just seemed pretty natural for me to ask my colleagues in the Senate Republican caucus to elect me as their leader. And that's what they did. And so we're off and running. That election happened on September the 15th. So I guess tomorrow it'll be 2 months that I've had this role. And you know, it's a lot of work, but it's also an honor to represent the Senate Republicans. But the work side is I've got to raise money for our campaigns. I've got candidates to recruit in open seats. And then we're getting prepared for the short legislative session next February. So there's a lot to do, but we're getting it done. I've got a good team. Senate Republican office is fantastic. They are a very, very, very good team of folks that are helping us. Then I've got good folks helping on the campaign side as well, you know, and then you know, obviously this, ballot referendum is super important. So we're obviously focused on that for the next 30 days as well. So it's all good stuff. I have to tell your listeners that I'm optimistic, honestly optimistic that Oregonians are going to help us change the direction of our state. They're going to help us elect more Republican senators next year. I believe we're going to elect a Republican governor. I think we've got good candidates running for governor in this state. That's Republicans. Obviously, we've got a primary. Primaries aren't always necessarily bad. I think it provides an opportunity for candidates to sharpen their message and get practice, you know, and it'll help them be better candidates running in the fall against one-term Tina. And I say all that because I don't know of anything that this governor can point to as success. All the metrics, everything that we measure in the state has gotten worse under this governor, not better. And the same thing is true with the legislators. I mean, the Democrats have owned this process now for 15 years and or so, pretty close to 15. And, you know, again, there's not success in anything. Their desire is to pick more money out of the back pockets of Oregonians, feed the state bureaucracy. And when they do that, they pat themselves on the back and say that we've solved the problem when the realities are that clearly they have not. So we're excited. I think Oregonians are gonna help us bring balance back to the legislative process. And with a Republican in the governor's office, I think we can turn our state around.
What do you think the legislature should do to make Oregon a more business-friendly state?
Well, can you throw up a softer softball than that one? The reality is, and I appreciate it, the reality is that we are a high-tax and high-regulation state. We have significant burdens on business, particularly around environmental rules, environmental laws. Our land use laws are complicated and complex and expensive to manage. We expect that Oregon is immune to the laws of supply and demand, and we wonder why the cost of housing is through the roof and families can't afford it. So what we need to do and what we will do with a Republican governor is we'll cut taxes. We'll cut taxes on business. We will remove or cut the estate tax so that wealth, family wealth can stay in Oregon and family farms can stay intact. We will reduce the regulatory burden. We'll reform Oregon's land use system so that it's easier to have land available for development, both industrial and residential, so that we get out of this spiral that we're in currently. You know, there's a move nationally to reshore manufacturing into America, right? If we don't change our environmental laws, and it's specifically the Climate Protection Program, which is an executive order that Kate Brown signed, that is going to increase the cost of energy in a draconian fashion. And if we don't change it, if we don't get rid of it, it's going to cause some of our major employers to basically shut up or shut down. They'll close up shop because they just can't afford to continue to work here and operate here. So those are the things that are on our plan to address when we elect more Republicans and have a Republican governor. It's exciting because it's not rocket science. All we have to do is look at states that are growing where too many Oregonians are fleeing to, like Texas, like Tennessee, like Florida, like Arizona. You know, those are states where their economies are booming. People are moving there, you know, for the economic freedom that they enjoy in those places. We can do that here, and we have a much better natural environment than virtually anywhere else in the country. So let's marry that natural environment with an environment that's pro-business, pro-growth, pro-entrepreneur, pro-innovator. Let's fix our education system so we're not at the bottom anymore. Let's reinstate high expectations and high standards for our kids. Let's challenge them. They'll meet the challenge if you challenge them. Those are the things that we're going to do.
About a minute left. When I talked to Christine Drazen right after she made the formal announcement, at that point, we already had 11 people running for governor. Just how crowded do you think this field is going to be on both sides of the aisle and the minor parties as well?
Yeah, so the answer is I don't know. I would be surprised if there's a serious challenge if Tina Kotek runs for re-election. She hasn't filed yet, but I expect she will. She's raising money like she's going to run. So, one, I don't expect a primary there. And while we have a number of Republicans who've thrown their hat in the ring, I think if you look at it with a sharp eye, you'll see that there's really at this point two major candidates that are viable and putting together viable efforts. And there may be another. There's a lot of rumors about another candidate that might jump in. So in my mind, it becomes, you know, potentially a three-way race of the major contenders. Of all three of them, and the two that are in the field now, I feel like we're going to be in good shape coming out of a Republican primary. And we'll take the fight to Tina. She doesn't have a leg to stand on. There's nothing she can point to that says, you know, look at this. This is better than when I was sworn in 3 years ago. So we're going to get it done. We're going to turn the state around. And I'm super confident of that.
State Senator Bruce Starr, the Senate Republican leader, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you again sometime.
All right, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.